Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Tuesday, February 7th, 2023. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, what we're listening for in President Joe Biden's State of the Union tonight. Number two, what to expect on the foreign policy front. And number three, Investigation Nation, the latest on today's hearing about the border. All right, Jake, let's get into it. All eyes are going to be on Washington around the world this evening as President Joe Biden addresses the union with his State of the Union. We have this morning in this morning's Punchbowl News AM a look at what we are listening for in his speech tonight.
You know, Anna, the State of the Union is just really the day that everyone comes to our place of work, which is like, it's a very get off my lawn moment for Hill regulars. So, you know, whatever. Let's talk about what we're listening for tonight. I mean, a few things that I think are worth mentioning. Last year, we asked the question, can Biden turn it around? And I think in many ways that question is still operative. This is the first time, you know, Biden had a pretty decent year, right? Unemployment is low. Inflation is slowly cooling. COVID-19, while not over by any stretch of the imagination, is certainly less of an emergency than ever before. Biden's got a gun bill into law, infrastructure, CHIPS bill, a huge spending bill on the Democratic side. They didn't lose the House by nearly as many as people thought. They kept the Senate against what some people would say were long odds. His opposition, the House Republicans, are pretty weak in the sense that they have a small majority and a speaker who just barely squeaked by. But Biden's poll numbers are still pretty weak. 39% of people think the State of the Union is somewhat strong. 37% want Biden to run for reelection. And those are not great numbers. So do you have any thoughts about that? Those dynamics?
I mean, this has basically been a lot of Biden's first term, right? He's gotten a lot of things done. But when you look at the overall polling, he's underwater, right? With a lot of Americans. And this is, I have a hard time seeing tonight's speech changing that.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that Biden, why do you think that after all of these things he's done and things that, by the way, these poll numbers do indicate that even Democrats don't believe the State of the Union is strong. So it's not even that his base is not with him. Why do you think that? What do you think? What is your theory about that?
I mean, we could talk about this all morning. I think, honestly,
but we shouldn't. Let's not do that.
Let's not do that. But I'll just say briefly. I mean, I don't know. I'm not in across America. I think I'm probably not the best positioned person to understand why people across this country don't necessarily have a shine to President Joe Biden. I would say that's been a tough few years for America. I think the bigger question is, do Americans feel like the next generation is going to do better than they are doing, that their children are set up to do better? And I think a lot of people across this country don't feel that way. Whether that's Joe Biden's problem or you know, he's responsible for that or not, I think it's a manifestation of a larger sentiment of frustration with kind of politics, with big business, with institutions, certainly with the Fourth Estate that, you know, kind of he's run up against.
Yeah, I think that's right. So let's talk about some of the things that we're watching tonight. Could Biden's good news break through? This is kind of what we just talked about. That's number one. I mean, he's been unable to break an 18-month string of negative approval ratings. He should get a little bit of a bounce from the State of the Union as long as he, you know, does decently. So we'll have to see about that. I mean, the White House wants to change the tone and we'll see if they can. Here's what I call the pie in the sky to achievable ratio. Every president tries to convince Congress, or at least calls on Congress, to do things that they'll never do. Barack Obama called for, you know, a variety of things in front of a Republican Congress for the last 6 years of his presidency that he knew would never happen. But what is that ratio between what he can do and what he what Congress is willing to do. There already are some indications that that he wants to call on Congress to pass a billionaire minimum tax. Not going to happen. Or make stock buybacks more expensive. Also not going to happen. So those are two things that he's going to call on Congress that they're not going to do. This is something that Brez and I have been talking about. Is this the unofficial start to Biden's reelection campaign? Will we hear new framing around his policies that are indicate a new tone going into 2024? I mean, if you believe the reporting, and I tend to believe the reporting because it's literally the business we're in, the president's going to announce sometime in the next 2 or 3 months his reelection campaign. Does this sound like at least a new kind of test drive of messages ahead of that reelection campaign? And let's talk about number four, Anna, the debt limit. How much does Biden talk about the debt limit fight? This is the biggest legislative battle of 2023. Biden's already in conversations with Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who, by the way, will be presiding over his first State of the Union as Speaker. McCarthy gave a speech on Monday night kind of laying out what he thinks the debt limit fight should look like. And he called on the president to sit down and make a plan and curb spending and all of that stuff. This was a pre-buttal. I mean, I don't know. I thought it was interesting that he did it. It didn't tread a lot of new ground, but it did get McCarthy in front of a camera. I don't think anyone took it live, but I think it was still an interesting move. But will he put some meat on the bones? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big question, right? I mean, a lot of this is going to be pomp and circumstance, clapping, who claps, who doesn't, who stands, who doesn't, right? This is kind of the typical Washington. I think the question, though, to look for is what is the messaging overall? Biden has largely been pretty conciliatory so far. I think when it comes to Kevin McCarthy and wanting to work with him when it comes to the debt limit fight, what does that look like when he's on the world's stage? They are both clearly teeing themselves up to try to kind of position themselves and put themselves in the best negotiating position possible. What does that look like from this White House? I think we're going to see that coming to focus tonight. It's going to be something clearly that's going to have probably, I mean, as much as you said, a lot of this earlier stuff is the pie in the sky versus reality. It's a lot of broad brush strokes. Is this kind of his big, you know, kind of opening salvo when it comes to the 2024 presidential cycle? This to me is, though, the meatiest of what has to get done, right? And the actual political positioning for which he is going to be kind of setting the tone and the stage for what we will be covering and a lot of the world is focused on, right, over the next several months. Let's move on to the number two story of the morning. Jake, our very own Andrew Desiderio, has a great item this morning looking at Washington vis-a-vis the world, what Biden will say about America's role in the world. I think particularly interesting given the fact that we are, you know, just over a year into the Ukraine conflict. You also have the China balloon, spy balloon controversy. What say you when it comes to the foreign policy aspect?
Yeah, so I mean, listen, Ukraine. He is facing a Congress that's more skeptical than he's accustomed to, at least on the Ukraine front, and he has. You know, he has a big challenge there. I mean, the Republicans are not super eager to spend a bunch more money on Ukraine. I saw someone, I think it was Marjorie Taylor Greene, or I'm not actually sure, but one of the House conservatives say we're spending $1 billion a week or something like that in Ukraine. I'm not fact checking that, but I mean, this is the general vibe among House Republicans, at least on the right, that Ukraine is a waste of money and you know, they're not willing to do it. I think that's going to be that is going to come home to roost at some point in the next, 6 to 8 months. So that is the banner headline to us, is what they are doing, what he says on Ukraine. And if he tries to make a point there, China, this is the competition between the U.S. and China is at the forefront of the mind right now. Now that we had a balloon traverse the United States had to be shot down by a fighter jet over the off the coast of South Carolina, how does he put it in the larger context of the competition between the U.S. and China? And Afghanistan is the big thing that he probably won't mention. Is the Afghanistan blunder from a couple years ago? We're mostly out of Afghanistan in the sense that it's not really a topic of huge conversation on Capitol Hill or anything like that. But that is something that we don't expect to hear a ton about.
All right, let's move on to the number three story of the morning. What to watch in today's border hearing. The House Oversight and Accountability Committee is starting its hearing on the state of the U.S.-Mexico border today. Republicans say the panel's hearing, titled On the Front Lines of the Border Crisis, a hearing with chief patrol agents, will serve as a fact-gathering mission into what they see as the failures of President Joe Biden's immigration policies. Obviously, the first... foray for House Republicans into what they expect to be kind of a long running, a storyline for House Republicans when it comes to their investigations, particularly, I think they want to highlight what they see as Biden's failures at the border.
Yeah, they have two patrol agents, Gloria Chavez of the Rio Grande Valley sector and John Modlin of the Tucson sector, who are going to be testifying today. This is going to be a big moment for House Republicans in the sense that they are going to try to lay this at Joe Biden's feet. And that is that's the theme of this Congress. Democrats are going to I was talking to a Democratic aide last night about this who, was somewhat worried about how Democrats would respond to this hearing. And I think Democrats largely agree that the border is an issue for Biden, and it's a blind spot. I'd be curious, by the way, if he does mention border security tonight. That will be something that's really interesting to me, whether he mentions that and how big of a cheer it gets from House Republicans. But this is the On the Front Lines of the Border Crisis, a hearing with chief patrol agents. Very interesting hearing. We'll be all over it, and we'll have some reporting probably in the midday and PM editions as we approach the State of the Union.
All right, just a friendly reminder, if you check out this morning's Punch Bowl News AM, we have the punch list, State of the Union 2023. We are reviving the punch list for the State of the Union. You can watch the speech along with Punch Bowl News and share how many you heard on social media. You can take our official channels and with the hashtag the punch list as you watch. You can download and print the image at your leisure. So we hope that you will do that with us. It'll be kind of a fun way to follow along. You can also sign up for our free morning newsletter at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe.